Joe. It's good to be here with you this morning. So you have to kind of maybe get your mind set where my idea was with Scripture when I went over this. I actually wrote this sermon for, I think it was probably a weekend away with the Army. I don't remember if it was that or if it was when I was gone with them for 2 weeks or whatever. But anyway, but that's kind of where my mindset was when I read this. And it got me thinking about something that we do. We did it in training. I don't know if we would ever do it really in battle, but in basic training, they always like to mess with you. They always like to keep you with lack of sleep and see how you're going to handle stress and handle the chaos of the trainers and the drill sergeants and everything coming at us and attacking us and our pinnacle, what they call the capstone event of our training. And they called this stand two. And basically what that means is just before dawn is really when attacks happen in training. I don't know if that's what they happen all the time, but that's when they happen, and that's what they were training us for. And so we'd have to get out of our sleeping areas and go to the foxhole, right? That was back when we still dug foxholes. And we do stand two. And basically what that means is just before the sun breaks, that's when they just have this attack, and you've got the M16s going and the 60s going. It's just like chaos, and these grenade simulators are going everywhere and smoke, and it's an attack. And I'm remembering back to my basic training capstone event, and I was in the foxhole freezing. I thought Alabama, that's going to be nice and warm in December. No, it's not. And I'm trying to get my fingers on my weapon so I can start firing back, and I'm looking around, and I'm the only guy in the foxhole. There's nobody to my left. There's nobody to my right. I go, wow, this is just wrong. This is wrong. And I'm watching the enemy come across our lines and take out our command center. Like, where's everybody at? Apparently, they weren't ready. They were still sleeping. And I was the only one that had, I guess, at least my line, I was the only one that was in the foxhole. Freezing. And it got me thinking about the scripture that Paul wrote to the Colossians. Now, Paul wrote this in relation to being ready for whatever happens, but he also wrote it practically for how we're supposed to act. And that's what this part in chapter 3, in the heading in my scripture, in my Bible anyway, says, Rules for Holy Living. These are the ways we're supposed to live out our salvation. And we're supposed to act to other people in these ways. And he starts off with what Larry read this morning. Since you've been raised with Christ, well, act like it. That's pretty practical, right? Act like it. I think sometimes when we face trials and troubles in our lives, or maybe we're just waiting for something else to happen. Maybe we're jumping from one crisis to the next. Sometimes life is like a roller coaster, and we're just not being intentional about these simple rules that God gave us. Word tells us in many different times, in several different ways, that there's always going to be stuff. There's always going to be something that we have to be ready for. And I think sometimes we get complacent, or we get tired, or we get cold. We just go, you know what, God, I don't have it today. But we've got to get ourselves back up and be ready. Not just to be ready, but to be always ready. I was having this argument with somebody the other day about how the scripture does this, and it's in the ancient Greek, it's in the Hebrew, it's that double negative, you know, to not do something. Well, this is the double positive. And when they do that in the ancient Greek, it's to be absolutely ready and anticipate the danger. Not in worry though. Let's not go there and worry. But knowing that God is always ready. God is there. He's never, here you go, never not on his throne. So with that, just pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can be here in this place this morning. And we thank you for the word that you've given us. I pray that you would anoint our spirits this morning to receive the word that you're giving us here. God, it's troubled times. But God, it seems like it's always troubled times. Whenever we're not in your presence, it's going to be trouble. But God, give us this word this morning to encourage us, to help us to be ready. Open our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. So in good sermon prep fashion, I'm giving you 3 points this morning. But now pay attention, because the second point has 3 points in it. So technically, I guess I'm giving you 6. The first one is really what I said, always be ready. And that seems like something that we shouldn't even have to say, right? In the military, it's always be ready because something could happen. I go back to when I was a Boy Scout. What's the Boy Scouts motto, anybody? Be prepared, right? Be prepared for what? Just be prepared, right? I think I got in trouble a few different times asking my scout leader, what do we be prepared for? It's like that, just, were you prepared for that? Well, no. Well, there you go. Right? And the thought, I guess, is what we got to get our minds wrapped around is God is always ready. We've been reading through the book of Job, and I love the book of Job, and I really dislike the book of Job, but both in the same breath, because it's that tension that we live in every single day. It's that we're doing what we're trying to do, but bad stuff keeps happening. But we're doing what God asks us, and bad stuff keeps happening. It's that tension. But understanding that God is the one in control. He is the one in control. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing, right? He's omnipresent. He's always and ever-present. I love those words. It gives us a really good idea of what God is and what we need to be ready for. But what is the tension is that we can't be these things. We can't be omnipresent. We can't be omniscient. Wouldn't that be great if we were? Wouldn't the world be a much better place if all of us knew everything that was going on at any given moment? I'm just watching your heads go. Yeah, that's kind of how I would feel too. You know, I don't think I want to know everything. Don't think I want to know everything. But we can at least try and emulate some of this. And that's why I've got three points to my second point. I'm getting there. Because we've got to be ready for this stuff. We can emulate the character of God. We can't always be perfect in God's will. We can try, but we can't always be perfect. God sent his son Jesus so that we could be ready, amen? We could be ready. And he gave us his word as a guide to keep us moving in the right direction. And if we trust in God's readiness, then we will be ready. But as I made that jump to Job just a little bit ago, it's sometimes hard to understand what God's will is. It's kind of hard to understand what am I doing wrong. From the message that we got last week, it's like if something's going wrong in my life, I go and I talk to somebody, a pastor or a trusted advisor, right? And they say, well, what are you doing wrong that this is happening to you? I'm like, wait a minute, what? Why do you always just jump to assume that something's going wrong and I'm sinful in my life, that something bad is happening? We got to be careful with that, don't we? Well, let's think about that. Go back to God's word. If you're following God's word, you're doing what he's asking you to do, then maybe it's just life. Many times in the book of Psalms, we look at that. And we see the ebb and flow of life, don't we? It's like, God, my enemies are against me. You must hate me, but I'm going to trust you. Right? I love that. God's timing is always perfect. But we're not always on God's timing. So, what happens? Well, sometimes we get weak. Sometimes we get weak and we've got to go back to some of the basics. And that's where this is at this morning with Colossians chapter 3. It's going back to some of the basics. And that's where I'm going to give you three different basics this morning. And it fits really well in that acronym of FIT. F-I-T. First, we got to remember to be focused. We have to be that situational awareness has to be part of our life. Always keep looking for ways to serve God or to give glory to God no matter what's going on. And maybe that's the hard part. Maybe that's just, it's the beginning, right? And it's hard. Anybody like started a fitness program or maybe like a nutrition program? How do you feel the first day after you start doing this stuff? You might feel pretty good. You're like, hey, I'm doing really well. I'm feeling good. And then the third day comes, right? And then you're starting to feel the aches in your body. And it's like, what am I doing? Well, that's when things get tough. But that's just the beginning. That's your body saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to live like this. And it's rejecting that process. But any pastor, any fitness instructor is going to say, if you're trying to make a change, it's going to be tough the first few weeks. And it works with our spiritual life too, doesn't it? We draw that line in the sand, right? And say, after today, no more thinking bad. And you look, we're going to keep moving on in the scripture. And he talks about it in verses 5 through 12. These are the things you got to get rid of. And he says this. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, the sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Right? He says, those are the things you got to draw the line in the sand. You got to put those things behind you and move forward. That often makes me think about the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt, right? What happened when things started getting tough? I want to go back, right? It was so easy back there, right? It was so wonderful. We had food, we had water, we had a job. Not to mention you were slaves, but okay. It was comfortable. The life that God wants for you, I'm sorry, it's not comfortable. And when we sit back and we go, I can do this. This is good. Maybe you're not on the edge close enough. Maybe you're not staying focused enough. Now, I'm not here to accuse anybody of doing anything because this was preaching to me as much as it's preaching to anybody else. There are times that I want to give up too. There are times that I look at some of this stuff and I'm going, yeah, that was nice back there. That was pretty easy, but God wants more for me. God wants more. So you got to rid yourself of these things. And I love to go down to verse 8 in chapter 3. It says, but you must rid yourself of all such things, right? Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Now, I often wonder why Paul started with anger. Was it just alphabetical? I don't think so. I'm not going to take a poll this morning and have you confess your sinful nature and anger, but anger is, that's a tough one, isn't it? Anger is that one that we go to. And what's interesting about it, okay, so I'm going to go a little psychological on you this morning, is that anger is a secondary emotion, right? I have this picture in my office that has anger as an iceberg. And anger's at the top, and that's just the peak of the iceberg, right? And what do we know about icebergs? There's a whole bunch more down below, right? And the picture has anger, but it's got all these other emotions and feelings underneath it. like not feeling happy, being depressed, being tired, being hungry, being angry, not feeling validated, having anxiety. These all lead into one wonderful point of anger. Anger is an easy one to go to. Ask any actor, right? Anger is an easy one to act out, right? Because we all know what anger looks like. We all know what it looks like. Get rid of these things is what he says. How we should act, right? How should we act? Well, go back to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to stretch your memories this morning. What does it say, like, at the end of Galatians chapter 5? Has something to do with fruit of the Spirit, right? The outpouring of your soul should be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Back a few years ago, we did a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit, and I made the congregation memorize those. If you're going to memorize anything, memorize those. They're easy, right? And then you can do it really fast. And as you're trying to get over your anger, you meditate on those words, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Sometimes you got to do it twice. I know. So we got to be focused in what we're doing. We got to remember that God has good things for you. And you got to get rid of the bad things. That's really easy, right? Be focused. I told you this was an acronym. So the next one is I, right? Got to live intentional. Got to live intentional. You have to have a purpose in your life. You can't just go floating around. God has something specific for you to do. Look at verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What better intentionality, what better purpose than to give whatever you're doing to God? Done in the name of the Lord. Now, back up a second, because remember, focused, we're getting rid of the anger. It's not, you know, like, it's not like that. You know, bless your heart, right? We all say that. We're all saying, you're kind of a jerk right now, but bless your heart, right? Get rid of these things, right? Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. You can't be angry in the name of the Lord. You can, but we don't do it very well. Go back to what Jesus did. We talk about righteous anger, right? Yes, there is righteous anger, but we don't do it very well. My advice, because I can't really tell you what to do, my advice would be err on the side of grace and not on the side of anger. Kind of let that stuff roll. Like, okay, God, they're being a jerk. I'm just going to let it go. Does anybody ever have to have the last word? I see by your faces. I know who it is. So that's the really cool thing about being up here and seeing everybody. I see it on your faces. Can you just let it go? Can you let it be? You might not think that's living with intentionality, but it kind of is. I'm not intending to get in an argument with this person, so I'm just going to let it go. Walk away. Have the humbleness enough to go, you know what? We're not going anywhere. Let's let it go. You still have to have that purpose. And I said, it doesn't matter who you are. Look, keep going down in Colossians, verses, what, 18 through, gosh, I don't even know, 22. It says wives, right? Paul calls out wives first, but then he says husbands. So that includes the rest of you. And then does something fun. He calls out children. So that pretty much covers everybody, right? But then he uses this word in verse 22. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters. Now, we can kind of take that out of context a little bit. Basically, this is who you work for, right? This is who you work for. And he says, work at it, right? Obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eyes are looking at you, but when they're not looking at you as well. How important is that, to have that integrity? Gotta live with intentionality. Now, we were having a little discussion just before service started in the back, and my wife said something about talents, and I said, I think I might be able to work that into my sermon this morning. And no joke, it's right here in my sermon this morning, chapter 25 of Matthew. If you're not familiar with it, it's the parable of the talents, right? And that one has always encouraged me. We'll say that. And we look at that first guy, he doubled his money. The second guy doubled his money. Third guy hit it. Now, why it encourages me, because sometimes that's me as the third guy, right? I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to mess this up. God, why'd you give this to me? I don't need this. In fact, pretty much every time I sit and be ready to preach, that's the negative speak that comes into my mind. Like, God, why did you give me this burden to preach? Why did you give me this burden to do this today? And the gentle voice that just says, trust me. And that's how I can walk up here and do this. It's not because, well, it is because I have a gift to do it, but it's not because of me. It's because of what did he say in the first part of it? It's because of Christ who lives in me. So often we want to sit back and we want to hide that gift. We got to shine. Go back to I think it's a Newsboys song, right? Shine, make them wonder what you got. My grandfather, really great Irish man. He always had that Irish twinkle in his eye. He had this plaque on the wall that had something to do with, you know, always smile just to make people wonder what you're up to, right? And that was my grandpa. He always had that smile that you've always wondered what he was up to. And then he'd tell you. But when we're given opportunities, we got to do something with them. Got to do something with them. It's that mentality of, I'm all in. I'm all in. And he says that a few different times in the scripture. Verse 23 says, whatever you do, work with it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord and not for man. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. That's our instructions. That's our mandate. That's our intentional focus, is to live and work as if we're living and working for God. Ephesians 5 says, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And when I was going over my sermon this past week, I'm like, I read that and like, wow, that is, I mean, yeah, I get it. It was over 2,000 years ago he wrote this now, right? But it's still relevant today. The days are still evil. There's still subversiveness in the devil's practices. There's still that blinders that he wants to put on us. The days are still evil. He continues on in Ephesians 5, says, don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. And for us to understand what the Lord's will is, we got to read it. This can't just be a placeholder in your clutter on your table or on your counter. It's got to be more. I think it was said this morning, hide his word in our heart, right? Not just hide his word, but what's the next part of it? So that I might not sin against God. We got to know what it is first, so we know what not to do. Sometimes when I'm talking with people, this I'm laughing a little bit because they all say, there's an awful lot in here about what you're not supposed to do. Yeah, we all tend to focus on that, right? But I think if you really study it, there's a whole lot more in there about what we are supposed to do. We have a tendency as a human race to go to the negative. Well, what did Paul say? The days are evil. We need to be more intentional about how we live. Live on purpose and not just on happenstance. Go back to the first part that we read. I'm sorry, I'm bouncing all over the place. But the first part was, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. So we had the F, right, focused. We had the I, living in intentionality. And finally, we got trained. Anybody ever started a new job? They always put you through training, right? Even in my opening story, it was going through basic training. You got to learn how to do it. And that takes us back to the scripture, sure. But the first thing that I want to have you understand is trained, yes, but where's your energy? Where is your focus? Where is your intentionality? Is it ready for the next part to be trained? And you're thinking, well, what do you mean by that? Well, we gotta be self-controlled. We gotta be disciplined. Because if we're gonna go into training, it's gonna hurt. It's going to hurt. And it's not a bad hurt. It really isn't. It's a healthy one. It's that stretching you beyond what you think are your limits. That's what training is. This whole passage in Colossians is a training piece. I'm not sure totally where Paul's focus was when he was sending this out to the Colossians, but he was saying, you got this going pretty good right now, but now we're going to stretch it. Now we're going to pull some more out of you. Now we're going to see what more God wants from you. This is how you're supposed to live out your devotion and love to Christ. And it's important to be ready. Go back to the beginning. And training is part of that, being ready. And that's where we're at every single day. Boy, that seems like really tired. Really exhausting. Well, if you're not ready, it could be. But don't you want to be more ready? Don't you want to say, God, this is really good, this is really awesome, but I need more. I really enjoy the way life is going, but I need more. it's not any accident that these things happen, but my wife and I were just discussing this just the other day. I was just yesterday, we were walking in Menards and we were just talking about how that's kind of been my feeling in life. Is that if things get a little comfortable, I need more. I need to, and maybe that's why I've had a few different jobs in my life. I think to date we're up to about 32. I've slowed up a little bit in my later years. I focused a little bit more, been more intentional. I've trained a little bit more. See, it makes sense, doesn't it? But I was bouncing around all over the place. Not being focused, not being, blah, blah, blah. And finally got to a point where it's like, okay, I'm getting a little bit closer, but God, I'm still here. What else is there? I know there's others out there like this, where you think, oh yeah, this is really nice, but nah, I gotta push it just a little bit more. Anybody watch the Olympics? The Olympics are a great example of this, right? Especially when they got postponed from last year. And you watch the news interviews and things with the athletes are like, yeah, it got postponed, but we just kept rolling along. We just kept training. We just kept being focused and intentional about how we were, because they had to come back this year. They had trained for 4 years straight to be ready for last year. It's like, oh, it's on hold. Well, yeah, the Olympics were on hold, but did life stop? No. Life continued to move on. And it took a while for us to get adjusted, right? That chiropractic adjustment, when you hear the crack, and it takes a couple days for you to get straightened out again. It's like, oh yeah, now I feel how I'm supposed to be. And that's the way we have to train. We have this army proverb. You might want to write this one down. Train as you fight. It's a great army proverb, right? Because if you just train willy-nilly, like, oh, this is going to come in handy someday. We'll use it sometime. I'm not going to get used to it right now because we're not really in battle right now. Well, they found over the years in lessons learned that the army trains as they fight. Well, let me take that back. They fight as they're trained. And if you're going to train willy-nilly, happenstance, like this really isn't going to happen, that's how they're going to fight. So they've had to change that around and really be intentional, focused, and trained. They need to be practicing these basic skills so that they can use them. And we do too, right? We need to practice our spiritual disciplines. They're basic. You know, read scripture, do your devotions, pray to God, and be nice to others. I mean, is there any more than that? Yeah, there's more than that. But basically, that's what we're called to do. And we're supposed to spread the gospel along with that as we're doing these things. But what is that? What is that one? Is it from? It's always given to St. Francis of Assisi, but I don't know if it's his or not. And maybe it was Martin Luther, but it was that preach the gospel at all times and sometimes use words. Right? That's how we're to live. Is our actions, our words, our thoughts need to be preaching God's word every single day. So our mind, body, and spirit are strong. Psalm 144. It says, praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. We must be ready to enter into the battle every single day. That's all God's asking. I know, there are days. There are days that we have to take a knee. And that's important too. In fact, I'm not telling you anything you don't know here, but God orchestrated that time. Remember that day that God took a rest? The day that God didn't need a rest, but he took a rest? Because we're so awesome and strong that we never need a day of rest. We're just like God. Remember, I'll show you in my notes, it says we can't be like God. We try. We're never going to have everything like God has. Even when we pass from this life into the next, we still don't have everything God has. We'll know more. We'll have communion with him one-on-one, which is really awesome. But we need to take a knee sometimes. And part of being trained is taking that time to step aside and remember that Sabbath day rest. Now, this may be one that you struggle with, but it is an important aspect of staying trained. We need to feel that refreshing peace of God at some point during your week. I go back to Job, kind of wrestle with this as well. Like, well, God, when I was in the pastorate, it was 7 days a week. When is my day of rest? And God really spoke to me and said, figure it out. You got to take a day. It can't always be Sunday. But you got to take a day. You've got to figure it out. But we've got to be ready. And sometimes we do need to take that time away and be more intentional and more focused about God and about his word and about what it means to us on a daily basis. And that's resting in God's presence. That's my third point. Not a sub-point. That is the third main point. We've got to rest. Understand that God will never leave you. He will not forsake you. And sometimes we get that anxiety of I got to be doing something. I have to do something. And you get kind of sweating and like, just breathe, right? Rest. Rest in God's presence. He says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. The Lord goes with you. He will never leave you. He will forsake you. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 62, and it talks about that peace in darkness and chaos. He says, truly, he is my rock and my salvation, my rock and my fortress, my stronghold, and my soul finds rest. And that's the kind of rest we've got to find from time to time, is that soul rest. We've got to find that. It says, my hope comes from him. Times might get tough, but God is still on his throne. He hasn't walked away from us. I've always been told that if you feel like he's walked away from you, maybe you better turn around. Maybe you've walked a little too far away from him. Go back to your basics. Go back to focusing. Be more intentional. Well, not more intentional, just be intentional. And mind your training. John 16:33. And this is one that has kind of kept me going. Yeah, through COVID, but just in life. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. That simple phrase for a believer in Christ should encourage you every single day. We went to the Ren Fair last week, Renaissance Fair. It's really a fascinating thing if you've ever been there. If you've not, it's pretty cool. And what people do is they dress up in costume, right? And we did our little thing, and I wore a kilt for the first time in my life. It was pretty fun. And looking, and the last thing we did that day was watching the final battle. You know, they do this jousting thing, and the final one, they always kind of throw something in there, and the guy who lost got angry and killed the person who was presenting, and it was gory and awesome, and it got me thinking about this part. It's like those knights were fitted for battle. They didn't come into the arena with, you know, shorts and a t-shirt on. They came in ready to fight. They came in with their armor on. They came in with their swords. They came in with their jousting poles. They were ready. The last thing they needed to do before they took up their jousting was put that helmet on. we're ready to go. That's how we need to face the day. Always be ready for battle. Be on your guard. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be on your guard. Be ready to go. Because the devil will come like a thief in the night. He's on the prowl. He is waiting to find that chink in your armor. He's waiting for that. Are you ready? Are you fit? Are you focused? Are you intentional? Are you trained? Can God use you? Can God depend on you? And I said, this isn't to call anybody out. This isn't to feel more guilty. This is to encourage you and to help us understand that God will use you. You've got to be ready. And if you're in His timing and it's your number that He calls, it's time to go to work. It's time to be ready. But understand that Paul also wrote to the Philippians, he said, the peace of God. Not just any kind of peace, but the peace of God that transcends all of your understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. These aren't just nice words. In fact, there's a lot of words in here that if we really put them to work, they're intense. They're just absolutely mind-boggling sometimes. To look at some of the examples of the Old Testament heroes going, what were they thinking? How would they do that? It's because they rested in God's peace. They understood that it was all or nothing. It was pass-fail. Do we live with that kind of intentionality now in our lives today? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time this morning that we can be here in this place. And God, be encouraged by Your word. Not discouraged, God. For some of us, God, this is a starting place. This is that drawing the line in the sand and going, okay, I know that this is what You want for my life. And that all that stuff back there, that looks really good, but I need to move forward. I need to train myself for battle. And understand that there is one every single day. Maybe some days is more intense than others, God, but keep encouraging us. Keep bringing us through the struggles. Keep bringing us through the chaos. And then we can look back and we go, God brought me through these things for this purpose right here. Encourage our hearts, God. Give us Your peace. Help us to grab hold of Your peace. Continue to strengthen us. Guide us and direct us. God, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, thank you again for being here this morning. And we were, again, talking earlier. It's going to be a hot one out there today. It's going to be nice. Be safe. Drink water. That's another army proverb. Drink water. I'm going to give you a benediction. As the benediction is going, why don't you all stand with me? Pray with me. And may the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen.